Welcome to the Totally Scottish Football Show in association with Paddy Power. The first trophy of the season is up for grabs this weekend. Will it be silverware for Stevie G or a 10th straight domestic trophy for Celtic? It's December, which means it's almost January, which means it's transfer window time, so let the rumour mill commence. Hearts hope to have a manager appointed before then. Daniel Stendel is the man they want. Will he be there by next week's podcast? And does he have a job on to save them from the drop? Dundee fans know all about that. They're still finding it tough going in the Championship. The legend Paddy Barclay will be talking to us about life in the shadow of Shanklands United. But alongside me in the studio, a man who decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow, from The Telegraph, JJ Bull.
Hello.
Make yourself known.
Yes.
And next to him, a much-travelled European football journalist, but still an Airdrieonian at heart, it's Kieran Canning.
Hello.
When was the last time you were in Airdrie?
Going to Airdrie this weekend, actually.
Oh, that's nice. Where are you going tonight, though?
Arsenal.
The Emirates.
Just one of those weeks where there's too much football on.
Are you going to be hiding in the shadows there?
I'll be dining at the buffet. That's the best thing of going to Arsenal.
Do you get that a lot then for the press? You get some.
That's the only reason the press goes to the football.
What's the best press office buffet thing you've been to?
Chelsea's the best I've had.
Really? I'd have to say Watford is my favourite.
Oh, Watford's quite far down the scale, I would say.
Really?
New Tottenham's pretty good. You know, I mean, who cares about winning trophies when you can move up the media buffet ranks? But yeah, Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea—they're the top three.
I have to admit, I've been to the Queen of the South fancy bit, and that's quite nice for a Scotch pie.
I was just about to say a Scotch pie because I'm going up to the cup final on Sunday, and you get a nice Scotch pie at Hampden halftime. Definitely worth it.
You're not going to throw it at Tavernier, no?
I'd rather have a potagerie pie than the Chelsea food, even though it's really nice. And I appreciate it. It's free. It's ridiculous. It's great.
Well, if you're off at the Emirates, you won't be joining us for our wee Christmas party that we have tonight.
People got all the fun.
Which normally concludes with JJ having a sing-along with James Richardson.
Is it a Graham Shinney special this year?
They don't have that on the karaoke machine. If they did, we'd always put it on for the PRS, baby.
Does it excite you, JJ, that you're sitting where Jamie Carragher was sitting earlier on today?
I did a podcast with him once. He seems like a nice guy.
Well, let's get stuck into this podcast.
You're listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show in association with Paddy Power.
Only one place to start, and it's at Hampden on Sunday. The Betfred Cup Final, Celtic v Rangers, and Rangers are aiming for their first major silverware in over 8 years. But first, joining us to give us a Celtic perspective, it's our old friend Barca Jim. Are Celtic fans confident about their team going into this? There has to be nerves, because they've got more to lose than Rangers.
I think when it comes to this game, right, and I'm going to call it the Old Firm, despite what I know I'm going to get on Twitter for calling it that, right? I've been going to these games for a long time, and no matter what it is, there is always nerves going into it. This isn't petty point scoring, but I don't see a player in the Rangers team that I would swap for anyone in our squad. And as long as we turn up on the day, we should do it. But realistically, now that Morelos has sorted out his disciplinary issues, they've got what I would call a puncher's chance. I'm not supremely confident, but if we do what we can do and we turn up and we match Rangers for application, etc., then I think we should get our hands in the trophy.
I mean, Celtic are coming into this in perfect form. You know, it's 11 wins in the spin now in all competitions. Are Celtic in a better place now than where they were under Brendan Rodgers this time last year?
I mean, he had a great reputation for man management, etc. But as has been shown in Europe, I think one thing with Lennon is that he is prepared to do the pragmatic thing to get a result. And I think the players go with it. And the fact that they've done so well in Europe, which they didn't do under Rodgers, that our league form and cup form is at least the very equal of his, then it's very difficult to say that we're not in a better position.
I suppose the one thing is that Rodgers' teams had control of the games completely, but they could be kept quiet at times, whereas Lennon's are a bit more, not chaotic, but they embrace that kind of randomness more and it gets results in his cup games. I'm not sure there's one that's better than the other in a cup final.
Yeah, I mean, you always get the feeling that if someone in the back four you know, knocked a ball long that you could feel that Rodgers would have been, you know, on his case. But you get the feeling that Lennon, I think, maybe trusts his players more. Is that maybe fair to say, that he'll think, look, if you think that's the ball to play, go and play it?
You said that you wouldn't swap out any Rangers player for people in the Celtic squad, but what about the fact that there doesn't really seem to be a backup to Edwards at the moment, and he's not, we don't know if he's going to play, he's obviously not 100%. Could that be where the Cup Finals won and lost, the fact that Celtic don't seem to have a backup to Edouard in the way that Rangers do with Defoe for Morelos?
With the way Celtic play up front and the movement, I think we could get carried, much like Rangers, I think, with Morelos, I think we could get carried for 2 or 3 weeks based, I mean, the Morgan experiment or whatever, that's not one I want to see going on for too much longer, because eventually that'll run out of puff. I think Rangers, maybe the same, would find that with Defoe, but again, I think at the end of the day, to give Rangers, you know, that credit, they've got someone in reserve that's better than what we've got in reserve, but I still, as a first choice, wouldn't swap what we've got.
So let's just say, take a hypothetical scenario here. Rangers win on Sunday. How much of a blow is that for Celtic to lose that air of invincibility that surrounds them? And how much would that play into Rangers' hands as they go towards a chance for the title?
It's a very difficult one to say, because I think the nature of the game would need to be taken into account. If it was a case where Celtic were dominated, they want it easing up, then you've got something. But if it's a back and forth game, you know, 1-0, 1-each, 2-each, and then, you know, one goal to seal it, then I think Celtic could come back from that reasonably. You can rationalise that relatively easily, I would have thought. I think a dominant performance by Celtic to reverse the situation, you know, if Celtic do dominate this game, you know, with a 2-point lead and etc., I think it puts more pressure on Rangers, because remember, lads, I've been here before. I've been on the other end of sitting watching the other side being on 8 in a row, and the nerves that involves, with the horror of the 9 and possibly the 10 coming up. You know, and it's a huge pressure on Rangers as well.
If Rangers are to win on Sunday, I know it's hypothetical, we don't know what's going to happen. How big an impact could that be in Scottish football for Rangers to be back winning major silverware and to have that blow to Celtic's, you know, impenetrable?
I think it'd be a bigger positive for Rangers than necessarily a negative for Celtic. I think, given what's happened in the midweek, and Celtic now have, it's a very small advantage, but given how few points both have been dropping this season, I think small margins will decide the league. I think as great as they've played, particularly in the cup competitions over the past few seasons, they're not going to continue going on winning every single competition. So at some point that run is going to come to an end. But I think for Rangers, for their belief, I know that they've won trophies in another, like, for example, Defoe has experiences down in England. Davis and McGregor obviously won trophies with Rangers the first time round. But for that squad to win something together, I think it'll really kick them on and build on what they've done so far in Europe. Conversely, as you were saying to Barca Jim there, you know, if Rangers do lose, and not even to lose heavily, but if they would lose, for example, in the manner they did to Celtic earlier this season, where it was only 2-0, but Celtic were very comfortable, I think that could be a really big blow to Rangers' title challenge, given that going into December, for the rest of December, they have the tougher fixtures both in the league, and obviously they have a big European game to come as well, that this is a really big, big month for Rangers.
Do you think there's any bigger picture here, JJ, that if, you know, the cup final can be won by either side, that plays into the title race?
I don't know. If anything, it might annoy Celtic, because they're so used to winning all the trophies. This is theirs to lose.
And to lose to their biggest rivals.
Yeah, that'll wind them up anyway. But you think, if they lose one, that's them realising that they're not invincible and that they can definitely actually lose these things.
So what about some of the players then that are going to be massive in this game? All eyes have got to be on Alfredo Morelos, who didn't start in the first game that Rangers played Celtic, which they lost 2-0. It was a bit of a surprise, and he's been excellent this season.
Yeah, the bit of a surprise,
he's sure to start.
Oh yeah, definitely. It just shows how much things have changed over the past couple of months, because I wasn't overly surprised when he didn't start that game based on his disciplinary record in the season previous, and the fact that Defoe had also started the season very well, and Rangers had played a big European game on the Thursday. This was on the Sunday, so he was rotating them around. Whereas now, Morelos is undoubtedly not just number one striker and Rangers' best player by a distance. What could be quite different from the game they've played against each other this season is not just the fact that Morelos started that game on the bench. Ryan Kent wasn't back at Rangers by that point. It was the day after. I mean, some said at the time it was a reaction to that defeat, but it was also just that it was the last couple of days of the window. And he, last season, caused Celtic massive problems in the two games that Rangers beat Celtic at Ibrox. And another player who's a doubt for this weekend, but if he does play, Borna Barisic, who has been brilliant for Rangers this season and also didn't play in the first Celtic Rangers game of the season because he got concussed against Legia Warsaw just a few days beforehand. So there are three huge players for Rangers that could make a massive difference.
Particularly because like Flanagan's the boy who comes in to replace Barisic, and I think he's one crazy tackle away from a red card in almost every single game. Kent's been playing really well. I think he was decent against Aberdeen. Arebo's been good as well. Between him and Ojo, Ojo's fit for the weekend, isn't he, far as I'm aware? Yeah, Arebo and Ojo there. I think the one change you might see in midfield, especially from the Aberdeen game, would be that Kamara would come back into the centre of the pitch, give him a bit more control, especially against, well, you know, Brown and McGregor. You want to try and win that battle there, be quite feisty. Arfield might be the one who misses out. Jack Davis and Kamara would come in there.
I think building on what Barca Jim said as well, I think sometimes we can maybe read too much into how much this game will affect the league title, if, as I expect it to be, it's very tight. If it, you know, if it's one goal either way or it goes to extra time and penalties, as it could easily, I don't think it's going to have that big a bearing because the margins are so fine.
Just reflecting on Wednesday night's results then, you know, Rangers losing ground on the title race, that's 2 points dropped really effectively. They looked so strong against Aberdeen in the first half, but second half, they just kind of disappeared and couldn't get into any sort of rhythm.
Such a weird game. They were good in the first half, but that was mostly because Aberdeen played like they were the under-14s local school side. It was one of the worst performances I've ever seen from Aberdeen.
Very much men against boys. That's exactly what it looked like.
Like, it was awful. Not a single player turned up that first half.
I'd love to have been in that dressing room at half time to see what the hell Derek McKenna said to them.
I think he was probably windmilling them, just going around, getting them all hits. But it's interesting that Rangers didn't see that out. They should have been way more than two up for a start. It's not like they had clear chances to score. They just weren't scoring there. Yeah. It was the way like Aberdeen had them, it was loads of people in the box trying to get it away. But as soon as Gallagher scored, it changed something, and I can't quite work out what it is. It's like the Rangers players rocked a bit.
The mentality, that would be the concerning thing for Rangers fans, I think, particularly what Gerrard said afterwards. He said that in the second half he felt they couldn't handle the pressure of it.
Yes, yeah.
Which I think is quite concerning from Rangers' point of view. You would hope the title race is going to be tight. I don't think Rangers are going to run away with it, but in terms of this month, they've got this huge game on Sunday. Then they've got the Young Boys game in the Europa League to try and get through that. Then three of their next four league games are away at Motherwell, Hibs and Celtic.
Yeah.
So in terms of feeling, if they're going to be feeling the pressure in the title race, yeah, it really starts now. And if they couldn't handle that in a game early in December, I think it's worrying for them.
I mean, maybe that's, you know, Gerrard trying to stimulate his players so that they can prove to him that he's wrong or something like that. But anyway, you say Rangers might struggle with pressure. Celtic are coping with pressure because they had a bit of a heart and mouth moment when Hamilton equalised in the 90th minute to make it 1-1, and then up steps Scott Brown almost 60 seconds later to bag a winner. And I have to say, I have to admit it, I think when Scott Brown scores, his celebrations are growing on me. I really enjoy them. I think they're hilarious.
I think it's one of those games that we could look back on in May if Celtic have won the league, because there was one point where Hamilton equalised in the 90th minute and Rangers had a free kick on the edge of the Aberdeen box, and that could easily have gone in. Joe Lewis made a good save from Tavernier.
It should be a penalty as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rangers should have had a penalty right at the end as well, where you could have seen Rangers going 2 points ahead. Instead, Celtic go straight up the park. It was interesting that on the day before the game, Lennon got asked a lot of questions in the press conference about the cup final, and he was very adamant about how this was disrespectful to Hamilton, and his whole focus was on the Hamilton game and making sure the players were focused on the Hamilton game. And then after the game, came out and said, yeah, it's the psychology of football. You know, we were completely distracted. There's been a lot of hype and talk about the League Cup final, and we took our eye off the ball. So Celtic, I definitely
mind
think,
games.
Definitely think Celtic got away with one there. But yeah, it could be a massive one come the end of the
season.
Well,
it's weird. It's like a battle between, say, it's often compared like football and boxing, but if you had them like as two boxers, Rangers seem to me just now off the back of the Aberdeen game, like a kind of cocky guy who gets a surprise jab and it just surprises and doesn't know what to do now, you know, and he's all kind of dizzy during the rest of the...
You've got to pick yourself back up again.
Yeah, didn't know where it's come from. It totally ruined the plan and they're now not sure what's going on. Whereas Celtic are quite canny, Joe Calzaghe-ish. You know, they're not kind of launch at anyone, but they slowly get the job done very efficiently. And those are the ones that tend to win these kinds of things. So it'd be really interesting to see how Gerrard gets his players prepared for Sunday off the back of this, because that is probably quite a useful setback to have had ahead of this thing, rather than it happening in the first 5-10 minutes of the cup final.
This is the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven and JJ Bull.
I needed to see that from my team, but it also shuts a few people up who questioned that. You know, the reference point for our season so far has been the two Old Firm games. We're getting to the day's game 4 points better off than we won the league last year, but nobody wants to talk about that.
Next up for Aberdeen, a trip to Hibs on Saturday. It finished 1-1 at Pittodrie back in October. Aberdeen ended that match with 9 men though. It was a great fight back on Wednesday, JJ. Your boy Andrew Considine with the equaliser against Rangers.
He's the greatest man in the history of people.
A total, you know, game of two halves, shall we say.
Yeah, it really was. The whole McInnes out clan are really tearing apart his pre-match words, and I can see exactly why.
What did he say?
Well, he was saying things like, Rangers have better players, you know, man-to-man they're better, so we need to prove that we can compete, something like that. It sounded like he was laying down to let them be killed, but I suspect it's more to try and lower the expectation, the pressure, to try and get Rangers wound down, because they were fired up the last few times. That's why they were absolutely destroying Aberdeen.
But it would be foolish to come out and go like, we've got to match them and we've got to win and be like, so that would be foolish, right?
I mean, a lot of the thinking behind it is that Aberdeen should be competing with Rangers. I mean, in a 90 minute game, yes, they should be competing, but realistically, you know, they're a much better side.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong, but I suspect it is because you want to lower the fire that Rangers come into these games with at the moment, because if they're all fired up, there's no way you're going to beat them. They're too switched on. And Rangers absolutely dominated Aberdeen. None of the players turned up for the Aberdeen team at all. I mean, it was absolutely dreadful. I've not seen such a poor performance in, oh God, I can't even remember, since like the Scofdale days.
This is six games unbeaten now for Aberdeen. When you look back at previous months when they lost 4-0 at home to Celtic, were beaten 5-0 by Rangers at Ibrox earlier in the season as well. It shows a lot of good character when there's still a lot of players out. And this has been a running theme for Aberdeen this season.
But they're 4 points better off than last season.
Yeah.
So like, this is the thing, that another point that people being anti-McInnes is that they're better off than they were at this point last season. And although the football's not always the prettiest, and although Scott McKenna seems to be terrified of the football these days, he's just launching it every single time he gets it. He needs to get his composure back. It's one of the best parts of his game.
Thing is, though, Morelos should have had a penalty in this game as well.
Yeah, and Rangers should have been further ahead in the first half. Like, Lewis Ferguson's trip on him, it was a foul, but beaten, weirdly, watching it. I mean, this happens, doesn't it?
The only justification for beaten not giving him, it definitely was a penalty, was just the way that Morelos was actually running away from goal, so therefore he fell outside the box, which would have maybe made it look, in the split second, maybe look as if it was just outside the box rather than on the line.
Do you think he managed the whole game really weirdly, though? Because I thought, like, he kept giving Cosgrove, like, the benefit of the doubt, like, that's four. That's five, now you're booked. And then little things like treating Aberdeen as though they were almost children, like they're allowed to get away with these things. When some of the stuff Cosgrove was getting away with, like when he's going for tackles late, should have been a booking each time. And then that is almost like he felt bad for Aberdeen and didn't give them the foul. It was a weird one.
What do you think about beating? He's apologised for not giving that penalty.
Well, he must have known he was wrong at the time. He maybe just knew it, and then I don't like the word bottled, but I just think he just didn't go with it.
The only issue I would have with it is, and this has happened as well last season, there was a decision with Hibs, with Rangers, didn't get a decision at Hibs, and the referee apologised to Gerrard, is that it kind of creates a dangerous precedent. So now do referees have to apologise for every mistake, or should they not apologise for any mistakes? It shouldn't be up to the individual, but given the crazy world of Scottish football, you know, there'll be people saying, oh, he only apologises for the Rangers mistakes.
Yeah, Colin would be a busy boy. Interesting in the stands. You had Robbie Keane and I think Jonathan Woodgate was there, wasn't as well, wasn't he?
I didn't see Woodgate.
No, McGinn was with Keane
because they're good pals.
They played together at Celtic as well.
I'm making up and filling in gaps in my head, having watched the game live. So Middlesbrough's striking options aren't great.
No,
it could well be.
We're leading into the conversation of this January transfer window and could Cosgrove be getting some bids in from other clubs? And Middlesbrough could be one of them.
What could be interesting, though, is I'm not entirely convinced that Woodgate and Keane is Woodgate's assistant, that they'll still be in charge of Middlesbrough come the January transfer window, given the way they're going and all the fixtures to go in December. So Aberdeen, I wouldn't say get off the hook, but that interest might not materialise. But even if Middlesbrough don't come in for him, I'm sure there will be Championship clubs looking at him.
McInnes did say that players might be sold for the right offer. The rumoured valuation is $4 million. Do you think that's fair? Cosgrove, 18 goals this season.
The one thing it seems low to me on is how much they were valuing McKenna at. Whereas if I was a buying club, I would be far more interested in Cosgrove than McKenna.
Yeah.
And forwards tend to go for more money than defenders. So I think they were valuing McKenna at one point at $6 million. Which to me seemed high, so if you were then going to take $4 million for Cosgrove, I would be surprised.
Any club in a league sort of parallel to Scotland on the tier in Europe, so I mean a lower league in Holland, maybe the Portuguese second division, I don't know, but especially teams in the Championship in England, maybe even League One, with any money, and there's a few of them, we'd be looking at Cosgrove because his numbers are superb, mm-hmm. and he fits the profile. He's young, he's 23, and he still be coached. You get a big resale value on him. The form he's in makes him very attractive. His size, his frame, the goals he scores, all kinds of them. He did miss like a 2-yard header against Rangers, but what he's done so far, he's a complete striker. They're very rare to find. Normally strikers excel in one particular bit, but he's great. And you've got Derby, Middlesbrough, Stoke are apparently all after him. Interesting to see what happens for it.
Well, interesting to see what happens at Hibs, because it looks like the honeymoon's over for John James Ross, because we found out his name is not just Jack Ross.
Jackie boy.
It's John James Ross. He's lying to us. He's not who he says he is. But they threw away a 2-goal lead to draw with Kilmarnock on Saturday. Then they threw away a 1-goal lead to lose it against Ross County on Wednesday. So they're showing their fragility again.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing that happened under Heckenbottom. Yeah. They went ahead in so many games and then threw it away. I mean, the one thing that has been sort of consistent since Heckenbottom left, and one of the guys that probably got him the sack, was Christian Doidge, because they spent, for Hibs, a fair amount of money on him, and he didn't seem to pull up any trees when Heckenbottom was there. But has now scored in each of his last 5 games.
Seven goals now in...
Pretty much all of them are of a dubious quality, I would say. But yeah, at least he's getting in the right positions. And I think, we've talked many times about Hibs this season, that they lack a bit of steel, a bit of solidity. And that's showed up in a game like this, where you go ahead, just listening to the radio commentary of it, they were saying they were still playing very openly at 1-0 up, rather than trying to close the game down, playing the counter-attack. Maybe that's just because the type of players they've got that suits them to play that kind of game. But I think that's the thing that Ross will be looking to change over the past few weeks.
Yeah, and you can coach it, but you think at some point you need different personnel that just naturally can do it a lot better. Like there's only so much you can do, especially with
they probably do want this winter break as soon as possible when that comes, and the January transfer window, to bring in some new players. We should say it was a good win for Ross County, but they don't play this weekend, so we're not really going to talk about them that much. Sorry, Staggies fans.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Football pundits who actually understand management, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
On Spotify, smart speaker and podcast platforms everywhere, this is the Totally Scottish Football Show from Muddy Knees Media.
It's been over a month now since Hearts sacked Craig Levein. Caretaker Austin McPhee says he expects Daniel Stendel's appointment to be finalised next week. There's a compensation dispute with Stendel's old club Barnsley. That's what seems to be holding things back. So it looks like McPhee will still be in charge for Saturday's trip to Motherwell. Under him, though, it hasn't been great. Only a late Stephen McLean equaliser at home to Livingston avoided a third defeat in a row for Hearts. Are Hearts in a relegation battle? Is this where they're going to be for...
They'll be out, won't they?
Do you think they can get themselves up and challenge for top six?
Well, I would have said a couple of weeks ago, like when Levein was sacked, I would have said they definitely won't be in a relegation battle, and they should still manage to at least challenge, but probably get into the top six. Now, I think their target for the season is just not to be in the bottom two. I mean, they should still avoid that, and they're only a point off the bottom, but there's a lot of teams of concertina around those positions, and if they started to play anything like their potential once they get a new manager in, then they should pull away from that. But it's just been a shambles, the whole thing.
It's a dire state of form to be in, to be where they are in December, and you're a Hearts fan, you're thinking, the season's over. Like, how can you get geared up for something like this?
Third biggest budget in the league.
Only two wins all season.
Yeah, like Soccernomics usually used. I was talking to someone about this today when we were talking about Everton, actually, but how like Soccernomics did this thing about how almost exactly you get what you pay for in terms of wages. Like the wage league will correspond more or less to the league table, with only one or two differences. And sort of Everton were used as the exception that proves the rule, because they pay very good wages and they're way down the bottom. Hearts are the third highest in Scotland and they're a point off the bottom. I mean, it's an incredible level of underachievement.
I think it makes sense that they've taken their time over the appointment. There's another thing with Stendhal is that I think he wants to bring in his own backroom team as well, which is extra expense because they've got coaches at Hearts but then lose their jobs.
Yeah,
because they can't deal with the budget for it. It's another big thing.
But you say it's a good thing that they're taking their time. I get what you're saying, but does it not also put another bit of added pressure on the board to get instant success? Because if it fails again, then it's like, well, you're not appointing the right people.
Maybe,
so you're doing
thing.
You're not doing your job correctly.
It's a huge thing you're doing though. Like, if you imagine it's your work you go into and your manager gets pied. And then they're like, oh, here's a new manager. We just had an application in yesterday and we decided to go with him. Like, you think, no, you've got to do diligence. You've got to check it out. You've got to make sure
that's
right.
Why most clubs, before they sack the manager, have an idea
exactly
of like who they're going to replace them with.
Theirs is so weird because they're getting rid of Levine. They've ripped out the entire strategy. Just going like, well, this is gubbed. Let's start again.
No, but that's another problem is that they Georgia haven't
football.
because Levine's still there. Like, they've had the most bizarre situation where Levine was director of football and then director of football and manager and on the board. They've now sacked him as manager, but he's still at the club in some capacity until the end of the season. They have one of his former assistants taking over in the meantime. And I know they're targeting Stendhal, but you know, it's been over a month and they're just going backwards.
But this is why, you know, I feel like Hearts and their fans are going towards almost a kind of toxic relationship. It's not there. It's not toxic yet, but I'm just thinking this time that they're taking over the Stendhal appointment, and if it goes wrong again, you know, this is someone, Ann Budge, who saved this club alongside Craig Levine a while ago now. But you know, this is
the fans that saved the club. She was the figurehead, but it was the fans that put in most of the money.
Sure. Yeah, so they should be expecting a lot more from the people who are running their club. But anyway, Motherwell, they've returned to winning ways, emphatically, in fact. 4-0 against St Johnstone on Saturday, then 3-0 at St Mirren on Wednesday. Probably teams they should be beating, to be fair. But special mention for James Scott, who got a brace in Paisley, 19 years old. Do we think big things from him?
I think he's a really tidy player. His first goal in this game is superb. Little step overs and then tucked it in the corner, like Riyad Mahrez or something like that. If you're scoring goals and you're 19, right?
Yeah.
In the first team. I know that Stephen Robinson has talked about him on, I think, a radio programme I listened to, and he said he talked really highly of him. Clearly a decent player. So, I mean, it's the cliche, if he can keep this up, then he's going to be just great.
Six goals for this season. You might remember, if you haven't heard of him before, you might remember him from last season when he scored that goal against Celtic, when Celtic kicked the ball in for a throw-in for Motherwell, and they just threw it and they just went up and scored. That was quite funny, though. David Turnbull could make a return in January.
Yeah, that'd be good. Take a while to get back to the way he's playing, though. Those injuries take ages to get over.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to rush him in. I think that's what Robinson said. The manager said that he's not going to rush him in. But if he can replicate the form that he was doing last season...
But I also think, I mean, you're saying how...
Celtic could be back in for him.
But Motherwell are beat teams in St Johnstone and St Mirren who should be beaten, but I think like Motherwell are the complete opposite of Hearts in terms of a team that constantly overachieve in terms of the budget. And when you take into account the fact that it was such a body blow for them to lose both the player in Turnbull and have that transfer fall through, so the transfer fee they thought they were going to get, which was a record for Motherwell, to then not have that to rebuild the squad and still be in the position that they are, is really a staggering achievement. And some of the rumours about Robinson moving on have died down because Hibs have filled their position and Hearts look as if they're going for Stendhal. But yeah, that can only be to Motherwell's benefit because he's doing a phenomenal job.
time now for the latest odds with our man Lee Price at Paddy Power. Lee, it's the game everyone's talking about, Celtic v Rangers in the League Cup final. Will Steven Gerrard win his first trophy as a manager?
Huge, huge, huge. And that midweek collapse against Aberdeen has changed everything for Rangers, albeit very slightly. Celtic are our favourites, as they probably would have been at 11-10. Rangers are 21-10, a touch longer than they might have been had they held on for a convincing win against the Dons. Extra time is 23-10. Either team's win on penalties, juicy that, 5-1. And this big stage surely made for Alfredo Morelos before a potential January departure. Whisper that bit. It's 6-4 El Buffalo scores any time during this fixture.
There are some admiring glances at Aberdeen's Sam Cosgrove. Will he still be at Pittodrie come February?
Well, he's no Lawrence Shankland, is he? But then again, who is? 9 goals for Cosgrove so far this season, prompting rumours of a Lazio switch. They are not the favourites aside, according to us, though. In fact, we have an odds-on favourite, Stoke City, 4-6, to make Cosgrove a January signing as Michael O'Neill rebuilds that club. Derby second favourites are 5-2, Middlesbrough 7-2, and then some Scottish teams, Celtic 9-2, Rangers 8-1. That Lazio thing, 10-1.
I don't want to pile pressure on St Mirren, but I'm curious. What are the odds of them going the whole season without picking up a point away from home?
Well, that's cruel. It's 20-1 that St Mirren lose every away game for the rest of this season. But we think actually that run might end this weekend. We make them the 7-5 very, very slight favourites against Hamilton. It's 11-5 they get the draw there. Or you can do the double chance on one of my favourite bets, which is 4-11 odds on that they don't lose the game. You're back in two results there. The St Mirren win and the St Mirren draw.
In the Championship, life is pretty sweet for Dundee United. Top of the table, and they can't stop winning. To cap it off, neighbours Dundee are struggling right now. So we're joined now by Dundee fan and legendary journalist Patrick Barclay. Patrick, how are you feeling about life at the club right now? It's not so great, right?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good because of your introduction. But it is a rare moment of a frisson of pleasure because... We've really, after a period before the derby, the most recent derby at Dens Park against Dundee United, then, you know, we'd been having sort of mildly encouraging form. And then, you know, the derby defeat has obviously knocked us back to square one. We can't create chances. I mean, in most games, we keep a clean sheet, but at the wrong end, you know, we don't have a shot on target. It's just gone back to that against... We had one shot on target in the derby. We had one against Dunfermline away. And, I mean, even worse in a way, we had only two, including a goal, against Queen of the South at home on Saturday. So, really pretty grim. And you know, all talk of the title. I mean, there are some super optimists who still talk about the chance of the title. But for me... You know, we've got more chance of signing Lionel Messi in the winter window.
I mean, it's hard though, isn't it? Because when you suffer, you know, the depression of relegation, it's hard to galvanise a squad together to get yourself into a positive frame of mind again. But did you expect better for this season? Immediate impact, at least?
Yes, I did. I felt that our off-the-field team... I mean, okay, we had a poor team or a weirdly, a bizarrely bad team under Neil McCann, who tried to play football and you know, but not in a brilliant way. Jim McIntyre came and you know, another team of people were brought in, but they were worse because there just didn't seem to be any sense or rhyme or reason. However, when James McPake collected this team, both on and off the field, there was genuine enthusiasm, I think, and genuine support. McPake, although he's young, is enormously popular at Dundee, and rightly so. And he gathered together eventually an off-the-field team, including not only, you know, Dave Mackay, a really popular man at the club, Jimmy Nicol, tremendously experienced manager, and as he was a player, Gordon Strachan as director of football. And that just seemed to complete a dream team off the field. You know, what a boot room, you know. And the players were good. And the cherry on the cake was Graham Dorans. And you thought, well, a really quality technician, Scotland international midfield player with something to prove, up against championship teams, we're just going to slice through them. But it's just not worked. And obviously, people are looking at a young manager and saying, you know, does he know how to organise this? The answer to that should be, well, if there are any gaps in his knowledge, there's plenty of people around to fill them in.
What do you think they need to get back up, and how long do you think it realistically is going to take?
I don't really fancy us to get through the playoffs, let alone win the title. I don't think we have any chance at the title. And I think any team that draws us in the playoffs on current form will be just absolutely doing cartwheels. So I don't think...
Is there budget in the window?
No, I wouldn't have thought so now, because, I mean, we have changed. You know, changing teams is expensive because, you know, you've got to pay... Basically, you've got to bribe people to go or you've got to pay them to go. You've got to pay them to go, and that's what's expensive. But no, I would not. I don't think there is a budget. There might be a small budget, you know, to give Dorans a little bit more money. He's on an amazing wage, you know, amazingly low wage for a man of his pedigree. And I think they'll try and do something for him in the winter to make sure that he stays for the rest of the season, although his form's not good at the moment. But I think it will be marginal like that. I don't think we're going to see more change. And there's a general feeling that we've had enough change. We've got to let this lot settle.
Is there much jealousy or anger at other clubs in the Championship but the wage bill that Dundee United are running? Because
Dundee United?
Yeah.
Well, you see, they're running probably... Their wage bill's bigger than several teams in the Premier League, but that's because they want to get there. They're going to get there, so the gamble's going to pay off. And I don't...
They also have a big American financier behind them as well.
Yeah, that's true, but they're taking a gamble. If the financial... I'm not au fait with the financial fair play regulations in Scotland, but if they allow it, why not? You know, good luck to them. You can't blame a club for... Even Dundee United, I can't blame a club for pushing the bar high, you know, any more than you could, any more than I think it was bad for English football that Man City took advantage of obviously infinitely greater riches to push the bar higher in England. You know, competition's good. And I must say, looking at Dundee United on the times that I've seen them, I really like them as a team and as a club. I mean, I don't like them as a club, but
would you like them back in the Premiership for the City?
Listen, you're not to tell anybody this.
It's a good thing we're not recording this then, yeah?
all the people listening to this, I've got to immediately forget I've said it. But I wish we were as well organised as them. I really, really do. I wish we had, you know, they've got great fans. They're bouncing. I mean, when they're at the derbies, you know, the whole place is rocking, but it's not us that's making it rock. You know, our Dundee fans are gloomy and it's just the place that they're in at the moment, to be quite honest. And again, this is a secret between you, us, and the millions listening, and me. But I think they'll be an asset. I think they'll be a real asset to the Premier League next season.
Back to the Premiership as Hamilton host St Mirren on Saturday. The Buddies bottom of the table once again. They've lost all 8 of their away games in the Premiership this season. It's the worst away record in Scotland. They're going down if that trend continues, no matter how good their home form is. Guys, what can we say about St Mirren?
It's not great, particularly.
Goodbye.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, particularly the past few games haven't been great, but they're still only a point off safety. And although we keep thinking Hearts might pull away, that's just a point behind Hamilton and St Johnstone as well. So if they win this game, then they could easily be out of not just off the bottom, but out of the playoff place as well come the end of the weekend.
They just don't have a striker. That's it. That's their issue. And if we look at, you know, the likes of Hamilton, who've taken Rangers and Celtic to the limit in the last few weeks, you know, we know that Hamilton can actually play some decent stuff now under Brian Rice.
Yes, but again, they're sort of a limited team. I think Hamilton probably have maybe better individual players that can change a game, and I think Rice is more... they seem to have them doing more going forward as well. Similar, like we've been saying the same thing all the time. They just don't have great players. The team as well run, but they can't. If you don't score, you don't offer a huge attacking threat, then teams don't have to defend so deep against you, which means they can attack you, so you're weaker at the back as well. So if you're weaker at front, you're weaker at the back by default.
Who do you think's done a better job so far since they've came into the clubs? So would you rather have Rice or Goodwin?
I mean,
or would you rather have a Goodwin?
I would go slightly Rice, purely based off the style of football. I think results, there's not a huge amount in it, but he is restricted by the players he's got, but the good results that Mirren have got is very much based on defending deep, counter-attacking, not holding the ball an awful lot, whereas I feel as if Brian Rice has changed Hamilton quite a bit into a more offensive team.
That's exactly what I would have said, but I would have said it far worse than that.
Obviously, this is Brian Rice returning to his old club. He was assistant at St Mirren, wasn't he?
That was the bit I forgot to say last week. We were talking about this sitcom where he was Brian Rice was living with Yogi. Did you read that story?
Yeah, I remember you saying this last week.
And there's a bit I forgot to mention, I find it so funny, is what he was saying, that John Hughes would cycle to Cali training every morning. He would leave 10 minutes earlier than him. He said, I'll leave 10 minutes early, so that way if I fall off my bike, you can pick me up, because he would drive, which is, it makes sense. Safety first, right? But he said, and without fail, every single day as I drove past him, he'd give me the finger on the way there and back. Like the banter scale. All right, lads. That's that level of banter. On a scale of 0 to all right, lads.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Well, the last time these guys met was on my birthday, the 21st of September, and it was 0-0. I don't think that'll happen this time. I think there'll be a few goals kicking around.
And Hamilton St Mirren?
Yeah. Hamilton will score. Hamilton will score. Mark my words. Have that, Lee Price. And finally, Livingston versus Kilmarnock at the Tony Macaroni. 8 games without a win for Livingston. It's the worst current run in the Premiership. They've drawn their last 2. This is a must win.
Every game is a must win, Andrew. But this is another must win.
This is the most must-winningest.
Olivia,
can I hasten to disagree?
So they shouldn't win?
Well, no, but it's really a must-win. Like, it's early December. They're not in the bottom 2. They've even got a 3-point cushion over the bottom 2. And they've drawn 4. Although they haven't won in 8, they've drawn 4 of them. So
but you,
fine.
You can understand the fact that if they haven't won in 8, they have to break that mould.
Yeah, that's
every team has to win, though, don't they? That's the thing. Like, Kilmarnock need to win, because otherwise their season's going to start to suck, because they're going to pull away too far from other teams. But equally, maybe Motherwell will lose 2 must-win games and suddenly Killy will be straight back in it. Like, Killy are, you'd say they're probably, they're a work in progress or just in transition, so they're
blown
not
hot and cold.
They're not the final thing yet. They'll be there. Maybe there'll be differences in January if they bring in a couple of players or shift things around. Livy, I think everyone's impressed by what Gary Holt's done with them, and they are higher than you maybe think. But that's starting to level out, as we suspected. Yep. And I mean, the players aren't individually amazing. They lost really key players during the summer, so it was always going to be like this. But again, I think Ross County and Livingston aren't too far away, kind of quality-wise, from each other. I think both are lucky that St Johnstone and St Mirren, well, that Hamilton and St Johnstone are already in the division, and that St Mirren and just are probably going to go down. Like, it's Livy should be all right, and I totally agree with Kieran. It's not disastrous yet. I actually think Kilmarnock would be the ones that would be more disappointed to lose it, purely because there's so little to play for with the season if they can't stay in amongst that top 4.
Yeah, when you look at Kilmarnock, they're in 5th, but they're 5 points off Motherwell and 4th, and 4 ahead of Hibs and 6th, so they're already kind of in a league of their own.
Yeah. The league's starting to really kind of play out. You can see Aberdeen are pretty much
the third best
on the third. Yeah, Rangers will push Celtic, but Celtic, I think, will just edge them out. I still think they'll edge them out. And the rest of them, who knows?
So nobody's going to stump and see who's going to be the better team against Livingston Kilmarnock then. It's just going to be a draw.
They'll be the better team. I think Kilmarnock are the better team.
0-0 at Spaghetti Had.
Well, there you go. That's all we've got time for. Thank you to JJ. Thanks, Kieran. And thanks to Little Kicks for our cool theme tune. Thank you to producer Charlie as well. We'll be back next Friday. Can Rangers get the point they need to reach the knockout stage of the Europa League? Join us to find out.
You've been listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com. Keep up to date with everything across our Totally Football network at The Totally Show on Twitter. And make sure you check out our brand new website too, thetotallyfootballshow.com.